family are my resident. Yes. Looks like the Fisher family are my resident experts here. Okay, when we go camping, it's kind of dark at night, isn't it? Yeah? So what helps you at night when it's that dark? Eden. Elliot. A flashlight that doesn't shine too bright, because some people go camping because they like the dark. They get out of the city and like the dark, right? So, well, I brought two flashlights today, and it's actually kind of interesting that this one really had problems this morning working, so we'll see if it can work now. But I want to do a little experiment here with a couple of flashlights, because if you want to see something and you're camping, isn't that really cool how it, like, makes my face light up, my glasses sparkle, sort of? Yeah, it's really cool. If we want to see something, we shine the light, not in people's eyes usually, but nearby, right? Right? Like this. And it will highlight. You can see what Theo brought this morning. He has a roll of tape and he has a whale, it looks like, here. And you can probably see it better because you have a flashlight. But what happens if you shine two lights on it? Do you see it better? The answer is yes. These aren't the best flashlights or batteries in the world, but what's important about this, and what this has anything to do with a worship service, is that we're going to be talking upstairs in church this morning about prayer. And prayer is all about shining our attention on God and on the thing that we need to pray for. And it's very helpful if we invite other people to also shine their attention and prayers on that, because it makes it even brighter, right? Makes it even brighter if there's two or more of us who can pray on things that we need answers for. And it makes it all the clearer to see. Let us pray. God, help us to ever shine our lights on you as you shine your light on us, that we might bring our prayers to you, that we might see you more clearly and follow you more nearly. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You're all excused to go down to your classes, and the senior highs are meeting upstairs for their class this morning. Ooh, you're a miracle. Amazing, amazing. I think you were tired.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Old Testament lesson this morning is from 1 Kings 17, 1 to 4, and 18, 41 to 45, Pew Bible, page 309. Large print Bible, page 401, and on the screen to my right. Now Elijah, the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the Wadi Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the Wadi, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." And on 41, Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of rushing rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and there he bowed himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. The New Testament lesson is James I'm sorry. Thank you, Chris. 43 continues, he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. He went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And then he said, go again seven times. And at the seventh time he said, look, a little cloud no bigger than a person's hand is rising out of the sea. And then he said, go say to Ahab, harness your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. And in a little while the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain, and Ahab rode off and went to Jezreel. Okay. The next reading of the New Testament is James 5, 13 to 20, Pew Bible page 217, or large print Bible page 281. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. And are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The next hymn is, Lord, Listen to Your Children, in number 2207.
We close our series looking at the letter of James this morning, reflecting on this interim time. We do not close this interim time, but we close the letter of James with this challenge to pray in all times and places. As we gather this morning to hear God's word to us, let us open our hearts to the Spirit. Let us pray. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Through the month of September, we have been concentrating on these lectionary texts of James and how they apply to the community of faith, particularly during and in between time. Like the other chapters we have explored in these weeks of September, it would be very easy for me to take this final chapter of James in purely personal context. What's in it for me as an individual? But to do so, I think, would be to miss the power of the message, which is directed to the community of faith, as Glenn so ably pointed out to us these past couple of weeks. A community in support of one another in prayer. Over a year ago now, our house group program in this church began a series of group meetings based on Nehemiah Bible study for action and reflection. We were asking the question, how might we as a church reach out in the area of public education? What might that look like? The leadership came with no set agenda on that, no clearly articulated goals about that, except that we would explore in some kind of experimental form in the course of this Bible study what it might look like for us to reach out and lead in that time. One of those four groups that met during that time devoted themselves to prayer as their action piece. Prayer as an action piece. We often, I think, and this group too, struggled with this reality in thinking that, well, all I can really do is pray, as if praying was somehow an inferior action. Kathy put it beautifully in her summary of the year's activity. Many were surprised to discover that praying was more active than they had thought. For example, many members of the prayer house group initially were apologetic about their house group focus, describing themselves as just praying, but then slowly realized that prayer plays a crucial role in societal transformation. Prayer has kept the momentum going into the summer and now readying for our next steps in this experiment of reaching out in public education. And prayer is at the very heart, I believe, of this community of faith in action. James has been talking to the community throughout this letter about radical hospitality, about the importance of speech in leadership, about wisdom and seeking God's purpose and unity in the midst of diversity. And we have been challenged throughout this series to be seeking God's way, not just the ways of our own personal desires. It is also so when we seek to be righteous in prayer, grounded in right relationship to God, seeking God's will and truth rooted in the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer is at the heart of our community here. In our worship, as we gather and take time to hear the concerns of this community, to celebrate joys, to laugh with one another, and to weep with those who weep. It is in our individual lives of so many of you, I know. And every Wednesday morning, a faithful group of people praying gather year-round, usually over a hot breakfast cooked by Sean Patton, except when he travels to Korea, to pray for the needs of this congregation, our community, and our world before heading into our various days and works. It is a sacred time in this community. This past Wednesday, when several concerns in this community weighed very heavily upon me, I was reminded of that sacredness. The needs in our world, in our individual lives, in the lives of some in this community are many and very serious. They defy easy answers. It wasn't always clear to me to see how prayers were being answered when I came to pray with the group on Wednesday morning. Yet as the group began to pray, what came forth, and in no small measure, were expressions of faith in God's faithfulness. The lifting up of prayers answered, there were many in that week, reminders that God is ever present, ever faithful, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Those prayers shone bright on the situations as we gathered together to seek to be faithful, grounded in our relationship in Christ, stepping out in faith. So why pray? James is pretty clear. The prayer of the faith will save the sick, will raise them up. The root word in Greek here for save is the same root as for salvation, a saving power that is of God. In and through all God is present. In my work as a hospice chaplain many years ago, I once heard one of our teachers of volunteers say in the volunteer training, healing does not always mean cure. I have seen people physically cured who were not healed from the brokenness of their lives before they received that physical ailment. And I have seen many people not healed, not cured of illness, and yet healed of amazing challenges of life amidst that illness. Strengthening and healing of relationships which were damaged, new peace beyond earthly understanding, inspiration and even life and energy in ways that they could have never imagined, a vivid sense of the blessing in each day. Paul's ministry was ever plagued by his thorn in the flesh, whatever it was. And yet the glory of God shone through him to lead all manner of people to new life and to be our witness in the world in these days. This kind of saving and lifting up, as James writes about, may not be exactly what we imagine or even what we pray for. This kind of saving power promises anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed. It is a promise reiterated at the very end of the letter, too, where the community is exhorted to continually bring back those who wander from the truth in order that their souls may be saved. The truth talked about here is the truth that our relationship in Jesus Christ saves and transforms life itself. We are no longer the same. But it only works if we stay connected to God and to one another. It is that relationship which matters. Keeping Christ at the center, trusting that we too will be lifted up. It is indeed a supreme act of faith to pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Not my will, but thy will be done. Scripture debates itself on this matter, to be sure, and if you have read Scripture closely and spend much of your time in John's Gospel, you kind of come out at a different place on this question of how God answers prayer. For if you read only John's Gospel, you would be led to believe that you need only to ask, and God will give you whatever you ask for. Ask, and in Matthew, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. But what is this it? John's Gospel seems to imply that God will give us whatever we ask if we just ask for it. Yet Jesus teaching us to pray teaches us something else more often. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the first letter of John, we are reminded that if we ask anything of God, God hears us. Yet we wrestle with why God doesn't seem to follow what we know is best, for we are smart people around here. We know what should be God's will. There's a whole sermon in that question, to be sure, or perhaps a second sequel to Burkhart's TNT series on theodicy. And ask any number of people around here who know that God's will in their lives has worked out in amazing ways that they could never foresee. Prayer, my friends, has been at the heart of this interim time as we said goodbye to the Watermolder family and others who have been leaving this community for other places. As we began to journey into some unknown waters and new ways of doing programming with new leaders, seeking God faithfully to step out in faith. We have 4 of our 9 elders on this session, brand new, never elders before. One will be ordained today. Oh, good, he came down from the Sunday school class. We have 2 new deacons and more new leadership in the life of this church in these past 6 months than I have seen in 10 years of ministry here. The intense work of this search committee to discern and seek God's will as to what is next for us, leading us from a rich field of candidates, 26 strong who referred themselves for their position, this position here, and ask any search committee meeting member, they were so different from one another. So different from one another. Our initial list of qualifications for the interim co-pastor was 15 long. How do you balance that when the candidates are so different? And yet, throughout it all, God led us in times of prayer. Sometimes that prayer was, as Anne Lamott says it, says, thanks. Thanks be to God that we have so many rich candidates to choose from. Sometimes that prayer was, wow, all these people interested in this church. Sometimes that prayer, again in Anne Lamott's words, was, help, how are we ever going to make this decision? And yet, through it all, an amazing, amazing process, we were led to the unanimous calling of MedHat, revealing steps along the way as to who we are and who God is calling us to be, step by step into a new journey, building on those things which have been solidly rooted in God, which have come before, and yet daring to venture and risk into new territory. When we pray, prayer changes us. It orients us to God in a new way of recognizing that we are not ultimately the gods of our own lives, but we belong to something much higher, a truth that can somehow transform and work within even the darkest of circumstances, even the hardest of times. As Glenn had as his cornerstone in these past 2 Sundays, this is Isaiah's path within the wilderness, streams in the living desert. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective, James writes, oriented in truth. The prophet Elijah had that kind of constant approach to God, never wavering, connected at all times and all places to the God he loved and served. If you read the whole of 1 Kings 17 and 18, we read just the beginning and the end of the story, you see that over and over again. Elijah's focus, his orientation in God, with his eyes on God's will, always. Elaine Pagels writes in Beyond Belief, faith is often interpreted as simply belief, but it involves so much more. It is the trust that enables us to commit ourselves to what we hope and love. And we leave that to God. Prayer, then, is an orientation, not a list of specific requests, but a willingness to engage with God in relationship, to seek to follow Christ in all arenas of our life. Truly nothing is beyond God's knowing, and we can never hide ourselves from God, however imperfectly we may express our prayers. God knows us, and God is ever willing to listen to our prayers, to answer with God's will, and to lead us into truth. And it is the work of our community to help one another to do that, to help me to do that. May we live into this kind of prayer in all times and places, particularly in this time, to truly seek to live in the words of the prophet Micah, in what the Lord requires of us, to love mercy, to do justice, and to walk humbly with our God. For God is ever ready to save our souls from death and lead us into the fullness of eternal life, a peace that the world does not give, and the peace that the world never takes away. Amen.
Please stand and we'll read together the affirmation of faith. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
We call forward Philip Chan to be ordained and installed, and Letitia Titi in absentia to be installed as elders.
Letitia is working this weekend, unfortunately. However, she has already been ordained, thankfully, so we may install her even though she is invisible to us in the congregation this morning. There are different gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. God works through different people in different times and different ways, but it is the same God who achieves God's purposes through them all. Each one is given a gift of the Spirit to use it for the common good. Together, we are the body of Christ and individually members of Him. Though we have different gifts, together we are a ministry of reconciliation led by the risen Christ. We work and pray to make His church useful in the world, and we call women and men to faith so that in the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Within our common ministry, some members are chosen for various roles in leadership and ministry in the life of the church. Teaching elders, ruling elders, deacons. In ordination, we recognize these special ministries, remembering our Lord who said, "Whoever among you wants to be great must first become the servant of all, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the servant of all people." Jesus, as God's Son, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life to set others free. Phil, God has called you by the word of this church to serve Jesus Christ in a special way. You know who we are, and even then you said yes. You know what we believe, and you understand the work for which you have been chosen. Please show your desire to be ordained and installed at this time by answering these questions. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge Him Lord of all and head of the church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of the church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do
And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God?
Yes, I do, and I will.
Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ, under the authority of Scripture, and be continually guided by our confessions?
Yes.
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? Will you?
Yes.
Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation and healing of the world?
Yes.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
Yes.
And even basketball?
Yes.
Will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Christ?
And our question to the congregation: do we, the members of this congregation, accept Phil and Letitia as ruling elders, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ?
We do.
Do we agree to pray for them, to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church?
We do. Would like to invite forward all of those who have been ordained as ruling elders, teaching elders, and deacons in the Presbyterian Church or other churches to come forward to lay hands upon Phil in this time. Would you kneel? Yeah, if you can. We don't all have to put our hands on his shoulder or head. But touch the arms or hands of those who are near you. Let us pray. Almighty God, in every age you have chosen people to lead your people. God of grace, who called us to a common ministry as ambassadors of Christ, trusting us with the message of reconciliation, give us courage and discipline to follow where your servants rightly lead us, so that together we may declare your wonderful deeds and show your love to the world. We thank you for Phil, this day, whom you have called to serve you as a ruling elder, and for Letitia, who has been called and ordained previously. Fill them with a right measure of your Holy Spirit so that they may serve you with energy and love. Bring forth gifts and lead them in the same mind that was in Jesus Christ our Lord, so that they may be faithful disciples as long as they shall live. Through them, bless the ministry and mission of this congregation and the church in the world through Jesus Christ our Savior, to whom we give all glory and honor. Amen. Phil, you are now an elder in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Whatever you do and do in word or in deed, do so in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has ordained you in this time and who sends you forth in service and in love. Welcome to this ministry amongst us.
As we have been so blessed, it's now time for our offerings and tithes.
Not want, he daily supply me every need. Although I walk through the valley, to restore that my soul, and no harm before me. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, in the city where death comes no more. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, in the city where there comes no more. Oh, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, in the city where death comes no more. Amen.
Blessings that you bestow on all of us and our church and on the whole wide world, Lord. And with these blessings, Lord, we hope to reach out not only in financial means, but reach out in prayer, Lord, so that we can touch all those who are needy. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.
And now to the one who is able to do unimaginably more than we can ever ask or imagine, to the only wise God, be faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the love of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Check 1, 2.